I know you're not sitting here with the chest out.
I am. It's hot here, man. It's hot.
My boy got the chest out.
It's so hot.
Freaky
it's...
today.
All right. That's a pause moment.
You a freaky ass bull with the chest out.
That's a big pause moment. That is a big...
No, unpause me. Play me.
Play me.
I'm glad we're going to talk about it later. We're going to talk about Keke Palmer and Usher and the right protocols. But let me ask you something.
Yes. Go ahead. No. Go ahead.
Let me ask you something. Yeah. So you saw the whole Keke Palmer little debacle.
Yep.
Was it or was it not corny that a day or two later she was posting links to buy t-shirts that said "I'm a mother" on it?
So we'll get
that's not corny.
We're gonna get into this later, but I think it's a work. I saw that and I was like, oh, this feels like Triple H wrote this. This feels like the Bloodline.
Triple H he would have did a little bit better. Usher would have got it bad. You would have got it bad. Come on, my brother.
One funny thing, and then we'll jump into everything. I have a friend, a homegirl, who was at that show. Like, she was in Vegas, and I knew, and I was like, oh, did you go see Usher? She was like, yeah, I was at the same show Keke Palmer was at. And she was like, that's not even the worst outfit that I saw. And I was like, oh.
No, the outfit was just a wreck. Listen, it's 2023. That outfit was regular degular for a woman out in Vegas.
Yes.
I think what really irked my man. Matter fuck it, we here now, so
let's do it.
What really irked my man was she was a little bit too happy. you ever tell your girl or your wife that you going out and she tell you to have fun? You know what that means?
No,
that means don't have fun or don't have too much fun.
Yes, there are parameters to the fun.
Listen, the parameters of the fun is don't televise your funness. And she was just her happiness was just too televised. Now, did my man listen? If you beefing with your lady, the last place you ever want to take it is to Twitter, because in 2023, the male will always lose just off the strength of you having a penis. I mean, straight up, we can't win that battle. Wonder how I know? A week earlier, my man Lil Uzi Vert was just sitting minding his business next to Ice Spice and her fine little light skinned self. Took a little photo, you know, had a little call out to her in the song, which, by the way, the actual song, funny. But you saw that what I got him? Two phones. I mean, a phone thrown at his head twice. Getting called a bitch ass, you know what? She also called him a groupie ass, you know what? And all the ladies, they was like, yeah, you better get your man. Yes, bitch, you better. Get your man. My man, Keke Palmer's man, whose name coincidentally is Darius. Listen, they shot the messenger because of the message. All my man had to say was maybe instead of tweeting, but you're a mother, why not just tweet the emoji with the right?
Or just call her.
Oh, she at the Usher show. She ain't answering.
I mean, get in contact with her. Here's what I'll say about this.
Nah, he be getting shit.
For those of you who are over 25 years old, this is nothing new at a concert. That's what you pay for.
That's right.
Dog, yeah. Janet Jackson would
strap. I knew Janet was about to come.
Janet would strap men to chairs and do everything but intercourse.
I know. You know what? You know what this brings me back to? Forrest Gump once said that life is like a box of chocolates. You don't know what you're going to get. But I'm here to say that life is like an episode of The Boondocks. And everything is a certain type of moment. If you watch The Boondocks.
Yes, if you watch
this, is one of those moments. Matter of fact, life is like an episode of The Boondocks, because coincidentally enough, they definitely had an Usher episode.
Yes, they did. And it was spot on. Listen, I'll say this. Big Mama threw her panties at Sam Cooke. Your grandma threw her panties at James Brown. Your mama threw her panties at Teddy Pendergrass and Luther. This is just the game.
Well, first off, I don't even think my people's is that old. So for me, You have aged yourself out, my brother. Yeah, mama throwing it to Teddy Pendergrass. My brother, that is when they call cocaine booger sugar, and they had a black only this? Above the door.
How about this? For you younger people, your mother threw her panties at LL Cool J.
Brother, try Michael Jackson.
Okay. She threw it. I'm just saying, like, this.
And, mama, if you was throwing draws at LL Cool J, get a better rapper. Give me, like, Cool Mo D.
Dog. LL Cool J had the women in a chokehold back in the day.
That's because LL Cool J was the original rap superstar.
You don't think Rakim?
I think LL maybe had a little bit more commercial records.
That's more fair.
Rakim, you know, he's hip-hop. Yeah, Rakim didn't... Wait, that might have been Eric B. Was that Eric B or Rakim? Which one of them didn't cuss?
I think that might have been Rakim cursed.
Yeah. This is definitely Eric B.
Bam said his mom was at home studying the Bible. No, she wasn't, my dog.
Wait a minute. How do you know?
Bam and I are related. I know his mother. Bam is my cousin.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
So his mom, your sister?
No. His mom, his mother's mother. So Bam's grandmother is my mother's sister.
Oh, okay. So y'all are, okay.
Well, yeah.
Okay. Well, the lesson learned in all this that I learned in all this is, one, if you have an issue with an outfit that your girl may be wearing, suck that shit the fuck up and go and cry. Because you not, listen, or in 2023.
Just talk about it in private. That's all.
Yo, dog, how do you think that conversation goes in private?
So here's the thing about, like, that outfit can work. Like, she could be going to a pool party afterwards and her bathing suit was underneath the dress. I don't know, man. Like, I feel like it's just a conversation you can have in private. I know we're trying to control women.
I am your woman. I am your wife.
Pause.
Tell me, how do you bring that conversation to me?
I would say something like, dear, out of all the bathing suits on the planet, did you have to pick the one where your ass cheeks are hanging out at the ocean?
Well, you didn't buy it for me with your broke ass. So why does it matter to you?
My wife does not talk like that. That is a stereotype. That is an archetype.
No, I'm talking about 2023 women. Why does it matter to you? You didn't buy this. I bought this. Well, you trying to police my body now? This is my body. And then I just pushed the child out. It's not like you're going to tell me what to wear. No, I don't say nothing to you when you're wearing them liberty ass shorts and you're posting yourself out of the gym every time you in there. Huh? Who you be posting to on there? Now what? Tell me how you respond, my brother.
I say, you know what, dear?
She got you right there. You just got
it. Yep. I was like, you got it.
All right. So... that's lesson number one. If you got a problem with your girl wearing, suck it up, because you're going to lose that battle 10 times out of 10. Secondly, if you got a problem with how your girl's acting at the Usher show, ask yourself, imagine if that was Rihanna or Beyonce up there.
Imagine if Meg Thee Stallion pulled you on stage.
She said, body, yaddy, 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 and got to throwing something. I'm weak at the knees. I'm falling to my knees like Dirk in a little video. Baby.
Yeah, Dua Lipa bring you on stage.
Dua Lipa, brother, what is going on over here?
What?
Dua Lipa? You be bumping to Dua Lipa?
She has some bops, but I mean, I know a lot of people are attracted to Dua Lipa.
Listen.
I saw her at the Barbie premiere, cheeks out.
All I'm going to say is, imagine if Ice Spice brings you on stage and does the turnaround and the pussy grab, like, right there.
Jesus, you had to say.
Like, your girl got to eat that.
Ice Spice a little too young for me.
She
23, dog.
Yeah, and you.
Nah, I ain't got it.
Yeah, you was referencing Teddy Pendergrass, so I guess she is a little bit too old for you. Shout out to Teddy Pendergrass. Beautiful.
Yo, Teddy Pendergrass used to pull the women on stage and kiss them and then send them back to her man. Listen, fellas, here's the thing. When you go to shows like that, not kissing your girl, but the artist is doing all the heavy lifting for you. Usher doing all the work for you. You just got to go home and cash in. That's it. Just sit back and enjoy the music.
What heavy lifting? Now your girl going to go home thinking about, ooh, Usher was serenading me with his voice. I wonder what it'd be like if he could. Hey, Usher. Man.
Hey, I'm cashing in the chips.
You know, a lot of people are saying things to Keke Palmer. A lot of things are saying things to her man, Darius.
Yep.
One thing I'm going to say this. Usher, you got to relax, yo.
Nope. This shit keep doing, going, Usher. Keep going, Usher. Because that's what Usher, you pay for.
You about to get a lot of people in trouble. No, stop playing.
No, he
doesn't. Now, with that being said, how did you, what do you think of the subsequent responses by other famous women after Keke Palmer? We got the Saweetie incident. She just kind of looked at him. Yeah,
she was trying. She was trying to be too cool. Like, you could tell she was trying to be cool. Mm-hmm. Stop trying to be cool. You go to shows to have fun.
What about the way Winnie Harlow acted?
That she need to get out that relationship, or she feel like she got to jump in that man's lap. That's what you go to the show for, man. That's the point.
So you and your wife there, you telling her, hey, handle your business.
I saw a dude sitting down and Usher was singing to his girl. You know what he did? He dapped Usher up and Usher kept him moving. That's it. That's all you got to do. That's it. Ain't nobody got to be dramatic. She ain't got to jump in my lap. I ain't got to stand up and swell. Hey, man. You
the swirl. I understood my man on the swirl. Like, damn, you going to moon my man too with the ass all out?
Like, you just, hey, man, dap him up. You Usher. You got it. And guess what? Usher said, don't let her go, and kept moving. It was 30 seconds. You listen, out here causing the scene. He going to stay there.
We as men, we can't be policing women's bodies. I agree to that.
Yes.
I agree to that. Because it's corny, honestly. In my opinion, it's corny.
Again, if I was at the Usher concert and he came and sang a couple bars of Confessions to my wife, I'd just dab him up and he would keep it moving. Like, again, that's... And again, he doing a heavy lifting.
I'm going to say this. Better Usher singing to your girl than old Aubrey Graham. Because I'm going to tell you right now.
He would get... He would do something disrespectful. Like,
that boy,
he
Drake. Would, yeah. That boy, Drake, listen.
I feel like Drake would grab a hand. Yeah, I know he would grab a handful of ass. I know he would. And listen, then we'd have an issue.
What? Yo, question for you. What do? You and your girl go to the Drake concert. She take her bra off and throw it at him. You looking at her funny?
I hope Drake take you home with him, because
I'm right here, like,
word,
what, like, I'm talking, she yanked that bitch off.
You don't throw it. You don't throw it at me like that. Like, she throwing it like David throwing the joint at Goliath. Nah, man. Yeah.
Listen, did you see the video of Usher shirtless and Keke Palmer just mesmerized? Maybe that was a video that my man saw.
I get it, but yeah.
Bam, you wrong for that too. Don't
stop. We're not saying that. Yeah,
I'm not saying that.
I ain't saying.
What up, Kyle? What up, Jamie? What up, Bam?
This man jumping tonight, but yeah, man.
We got to start this pod, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to episode 107 of Speak On It.
Yes, sir.
You have your man Los D-Mix here, of course. We got the legend himself with the chest out.
Let's go.
In the ocean. How you doing, man?
I'm living a dream, baby. It's hot out here. The chest hair is out. Let me tell you, for all my other hairy chested men, this is the worst time of the year, but it's also the best time of the year. Live it up. Unbutton that second button. Let that hair fly. She gonna like it.
No pause.
I promise you.
No nothing.
Nope. No pause. This pure. This that pure raw.
Pure raw. Yo, I need someone to just time stamp that social clip right there. This is that pure raw. Kyle said this tradition goes way back. Pretty sure Robert Johnson was shot by a jealous husband. Oh, man.
Oh, what?
Listen, there are not many things scarier in this world than a jealous boyfriend or husband, because they take their woman serious. It's always the I don't want to say it, but should I say it?
I mean, go for it.
It's always the dudes that don't get a lot of women that do the absolute extremes when it comes to their girls.
Yeah, I'll take it a step further. It's the insecure, possessive men.
That's all that is. Why are they insecure? Because they likely... They're
inadequate somewhere. They feel inadequate somewhere. I don't know what that could be, a multitude of different things.
Ladies, listen, if you're dating a man and you think that he has absolutely no options whatsoever, if you were to leave, that is a good sign that don't play with him. Don't play with him.
I wouldn't say that. Because there are some ugly dudes who know that they're ugly. And they know that.
But they pulled him. Well, no. Being ugly and not being able to carry a little roster of women is different, because that's some fair. Brothers pull. I'm talking about the brothers who don't have options, and they when they're with one girl, they get super serious about them because they don't know. You know what I'm saying?
They're very clingy.
Them are the dangerous dudes. I'd be scared for my brothers. Hey.
Hey, I mean, Hendrix feel you.
Yeah, well, he's a virgin, so he can't feel me just off that strength alone. Just off that strength alone. He don't know what it's like to be in something nice and... Hey, so this is episode 107. Danny, let the people know. Let the people know what we're talking about today.
No, I'm just going to gloss over. Hey, yo.
They got me.
They got you. All right.
They got me. What are we talking about today, my brother? Actually, we got some housekeeping, don't we?
We do. We got a little bit of housekeeping. This show's brought to you by goingfor2.com. Head over to goingfor2.com for our fantasy needs. Football season, I believe we are 60-ish days away from kickoff, which means we're roughly 30 days away from drafts and all that stuff. Football season is essentially here. We're going to actually start our 8-week preview next week of each division, but goingfor2.com, fantasy needs, hit them up. D, tonight we got some basketball to talk about. Damian Lillard, the Summer League in-season tournament, Chris Paul being in hell. We'll talk about NCAA coaches. They wilding. How we separate that from their actions from the actual fandom. Oh, what happened to my notes? Then we got a big-ass game of big deal or no deal that I'm looking forward to. We've already covered Kiki, but it was very funny. It might be worth revisiting. But we're going to start in the NBA. And we're going to start with Dame Lillard. So we all know he made his request. He wants out. He wants to go to Miami. He has made that very clear. D, we know the details of the Dame trade. Do you think he ends up in Miami when it's all said and done?
Listen, yes, I think Damian Lillard is just counting down his days until he's in Miami Heat. Let me tell you why. So can we both acknowledge that Dame is quote unquote running from the grind now?
We can, but I'm not mad at him for it.
I'm not mad at him for it either. So this is why I think Dame's going to end up a Miami Heat. He told his agent to tell every other team that, hey, my man ain't got a no trade clause like Bradley Beal. But if you trade for this guy and you're not the Miami Heat, you are going to get a very unhappy professional basketball player.
Yep.
You know what that tells me? Yo, you other teams, don't even waste your time. This is between the Heat and the Blazers. And with that, I think what we're doing is, I think we're at a stalemate because the Blazers are saying, hey, we saw what Bradley Beal went for. We think our guy can go for a little bit more than that. I think the Heat are saying, yo, Bradley Beal and Damian Lillard, mad equal comps. Y'all better take Duncan Robinson, Tyler Hero on these picks because who the fuck else are you going to trade with? You can only trade with us. We're the only team this guy wants to go to. So, like, I think that message from Dame and his agent was basically their way of saying, yo, Celtics, Nets, don't waste your time. It's between the Heat and the Blazers, and they're going to figure that deal out. And time will tell.
Yeah, I think the most interesting about the story is I think that the GM the other day said, we're willing to drag this into the season. If it takes months, it takes months, which is a lie. That is cap. That is full cap. They want to get this done as soon as possible, especially before training camp, so it scoots team. I'm with you. Usually when stars demand trades to a specific place, they usually get their way. I know the talk has been, well, you know, if Portland doesn't oblige to Dame, you know, what free agent, you know, free agents are going to remember that. So who the hell is going to Portland in a free agency anywhere? It's more about keeping the relationship with the agent at a place that's feasible because there will be a time where you probably will have to deal with Dame agents when it comes to another superstar down the road. So you want to make sure that relationship isn't completely burned to the ground. But if you're Portland, I know right now no one's betting, you know, the Heat have the upper hand and have the leverage. But if another team comes, if Utah comes, and Danny Ainge, which would be hilarious because Danny Ainge and Pat Riley hate each other. If the Jazz just come and put together something that Portland can't say no to, I mean, Donovan Mitchell said he wanted to go to New York. He got traded to Cleveland. He's a professional. He's now a Cleveland Cavalier, and I expect the same from Dame. I expect if Dame wants this money, he's going to play in Utah or wherever Portland sends him, and he's going to be professional even if he's unhappy.
Let me tell you something. I don't think he gets traded to a Western Conference team unless the OKC Thunder say, hey, we got 7 first-round picks for you.
Yeah.
Boom.
Which, hey, man, Dame and Shea and Chet and get, we have, you probably give up Giddy. You're probably going to have to give up. You have to give up, but you have a lot of young talent. I'm just saying, if a team comes and just blows you away, I don't care if Dame's not happy. Like, I'll try to oblige to you. But, you know, if another team comes with something better, like, I'm here to do what's best for the Trailblazers, not for Damian Lillard.
But if my if my man's basically saying, yo, no, under no star in hell am I playing for any team that's not Miami, what do you do?
My question would be is, what are you going to do, sit out and lose out on this money? No, you're going to come play basketball. You're going to come hoop because you're a professional. That wouldn't scare me. Like, if I'm a team and I have the assets and I think Damian Lillard takes us over the top, I'm trading for him. I don't care what he says. You on the contract for 4 years. Do you want this bread? Are you willing to sit out? No? Well, then you hooping over here.
But my thing is, he's already cornered the market. Yep. He's basically told the market, it ain't happening, Captain, if you're not the Miami Heat. You other players, give it the fuck up. What did Nicki Minaj say, Itty Biggie Piggy? Don't even bother at this point. That's what he's basically saying.
And I would say, what are you going to do if I trade for you?
And he's saying, what are you going to do if nobody offers you a trade?
I'm saying, like, if I'm Brooklyn, or if I'm trying to think, if I'm Boston, and I trade for Dame Lillard, and he's not happy, what you going to do?
Well, I mean,
what you gonna do? You gonna put on that jersey? You gonna have to get another number because zero is taken. And you gonna hoop?
I would say with both of those teams, though, a deal is hard to get done because already, if you're not gonna offer a first round pick, you're gonna offer a first round pick S talent. I don't think either one of those teams wants to lose a Jaylen Brown or Mikal Bridges for Dame Lillard.
I would give up Dame Lillard. Give up Jaylen Brown for them. Yes, I would.
You're not giving
up. I've seen what Jaylen and Tatum could do together.
You're not going to give up a 25, 26, 27-year-old for a 36-year-old, 35-year-old with 2 years left in his contract that pays him almost close to $60 million.
Watch me. Watch me.
Wait, what? Are you hearing yourself right now? You're crazy. Yes.
What do the Celtics have a problem with? Closing games. What does Dame do? He closed games.
Man, that's not their problem. I wouldn't say they have a problem closing.
They don't have a true ball handler. Jaylen can't dribble.
They got Tatum.
He can't. He's okay, but he can't initiate the offense like a true guard can. Like, he is a point forward. Like, you need a guard. Listen, man. I know what Jaylen and Jason can do together. I've seen it. It's not enough. Hey, dog. Kristaps Porzingis, Dame Lillard, Jason Tatum. Let's see what we got.
But, okay, so here's my thing. We don't know. We can't say that that Tatum and Brown isn't enough. Yo, they've been to mad Eastern Conference Finals, and they've been to a Finals. So it's not like it's not enough. They've just been – yo, they ran into the Warriors. It'd be like that sometimes. They ran into LeBron 1 year. It'd be like that sometimes. They ran into the Heat twice. It'd be like that sometimes.
It would sure be nice to have a clutch guard who can shoot the lights out to help with those situations. Or even Philadelphia. Like, what is he going to do if he gets traded to Philly? You're going to play for the Sixers. That's it. Like, what are we talking about?
Now, I do think if Philly came into the mix, he would quickly have a change of opinion.
He's already said no, though. Would you give up Tyrese Maxey for Dame Lillard? Because that seems to be the holdup.
No, I'm putting James Harden on a package with a couple of first round picks and saying, "Hey, brother, go ahead."
What if Portland doesn't want? What if Portland's like, "Yo, I want Tyrese Maxey." Bye, Tyrese.
Bruh, I don't know. Tyrese for Dame, I probably would do just because I think Dame the value in Dame the next couple of years might be better than the long term value of a Tyrese Maxey.
Yes,
but in terms of like a Mikal Bridges or a Jaylen Brown from the Celtics and the Nets, no.
We are talking about a superstar.
And we're talking
outside
about
of Steph, Dame is the best shooter in the NBA.
I hear you, but you I think if you're a team like Boston or the Nets, you're going to trade away a lot for a guy that maybe next 32. Year decides he wants. He might decide next year he wants to be traded from that situation.
He's not though. He is John Cena. He can't turn heel. He's kind of turning heel now, but he can't go full heel.
He's already there.
And Dame's 33 in 4 days. But I don't know, man. Like, he is a superstar. Like, you're telling me I 3 years of prime Dame for Mikal Bridges or Maxey. Sign me up. Yep. You want Maxey for Joel? I think
if you're Boston, you've already been to multiple Eastern Conference Finals and a Finals with the team that you have. I think the addition of Kristaps Porzingis gives you a little bit more of the offensive firepower that you need to be able to maybe go over the hump. I think if you're a team like the Nets, yes, y'all need a true number one option, but y'all also have a lot of young talent. So really, you could wait until another free agent in the next year, maybe two, becomes available and then try to bring them in, sort of like the Rockets with Fred VanVleet this year.
Yeah, but if I'm the Nets, I know they've just been linked. Like, if I'm the Sixers and you're telling me the thing that's holding this deal up is Tyrese Maxey, yo, what are we talking about here?
Who's the new head coach of the Sixers again?
Nick Nurse.
Nick Nurse. I don't think who says Nick Nurse thinks Damian Lillard can fit in his system?
He's Damian Lillard. He can fit in your system. The same if Chris Paul can fit in the Warrior system.
Oh, brother. Are we there? You want to just go ahead and jump into it?
Yeah, let's do that. One last thing. Kyle makes a great point about Kawhi. Kawhi didn't want to go to Toronto, but guess what? He was a professional and he won a championship. Year one.
Yes, but no.
Yes, but no. Okay.
Yes, but no. Like, yes, he went up there and embraced the city and the culture of Toronto, but one that was a pretty decent team that needed a bona fide number one option. Two, they were playing a dynasty going for a three-peat that had two of their three best players injured in the same finals. That goes unnoticed that goes untalked about when talking about that 2019 finals, but
KD and Clay.
Yeah, it counts, but KD and Clay went down the same series.
So while we're talking about the Warriors, Chris Paul is a Warrior, and he said he's now worried about his role on a scale from 1 to Kevin Gates. How big of a lie is he telling?
He is telling the same lie that Kevin Gates told when he said he started a car battery with his bare fucking hands. He lying. Chris, you're lying. I think Chris is looking at his role like, yo, am I about to be a bona fide off the bench point guard? Because me and Steph can't be on the court together.
I saw someone say they should play small. The opening lineup should be Steph, CP, Clay, Draymond. Like, what? And Wiggins. Dog, if Wiggins is playing the four, we're done.
No, here. If CP3 is playing your two, you are in trouble.
Yes.
You are in trouble. If Clay's playing your three, oh, yeah, because put Clay on LeBron and tell me what he's going to do for 48 minutes. You kidding me?
Dog, did you see his introductory press conference, like in the background was a trash can? Like, talk about just symbolism.
He's going through it.
He's about to cry.
Let me ask you something. Who looked like they were crying? Who looked like they were about to cry in their photos first? Jordan Poole or Chris Paul?
Oh, Jordan. Here's the thing about Jordan, though. Once Jordan realized what DC has to offer off the court, he'll be fine. Like, Porzingis, when he got traded from Dallas to DC, he looked sad. And then he realized what was in DC. Man, it was an all-star last year. He put up all-star numbers.
Listen, I don't know why people sleep on DC. They got some...
Chocolate City, baby.
Oh yeah, it's definitely chocolate. They got some things up in DC.
I need him to cut that those mullet chops off his face though. Like Jordan, nah, that's not the look. You look like somebody abusive stepdaddy. Like cut them.
Nah, let me tell you something. Jordan, he going through it. He said he don't want to cut his hair, bro. He just want to.
That's the sign of a man who going. At least Chris Ball had the fresh cut. Like Jordan Poole showed up and was like, damn.
How many games does CP3 and the Warriors winning next year?
I think they win. I think this can work. Like if Chris Paul can embrace taking over the second unit, they can win 50 games. Is Chris Paul going to do that though? Because judging by the look on his face, he is not.
I would ask Chris Paul. I would honestly say, what other choices do you have? What other choices do you have? How many more opportunities does my man have?
That's the thing.
Like he's in year what? 20?
100?
Yeah, it's looking like that. I think he's in year 20 or no.
Something like that. Nah, he's close to 20 though. He's closer to 20 than he is to 15.
Exactly. And that's why I'm thinking, listen, if they look at him and say, yo, we get that you Chris Paul, but dog, you is not the Chris Paul from the Pelicans. We need you to, was it the Pelicans?
Yeah. It was the Hornets then. There's the New Orleans Hornets when he was there.
Yeah, I think they're probably telling him, listen, you don't have many opportunities left.
This it,
dog.
Hey, take this second unit. Keep us above water till Steph catches his breath. And if you're Chris Paul, man, take this opportunity. Catch your breath. Relax during the regular season. You're not going to have to play 75 games. Dog, give me 55, 60 games. We're going to keep you fresh for the playoffs. And let's go win this championship because that second unit against Denver is going to be the difference between going to the finals and not going to the finals.
Speaking of finals, so Kyle says, to be fair, in regards to the 2019 finals between the Raptors and the Warriors, he said, to be fair, Klay Thompson played in every game of that series. He wasn't 100%, but he played until the ACL tear late in game 6, plus Steph went off for the best finals of his career. True, Kyle, but they built that team around Steph, Klay, and KD. And when the big dog goes down, i.e. number 35 or number 7, and Kevin Durant, that's a big hole to fill.
Pause. I don't care what
Unpause me. That is a humongous hole to fill.
All right.
And you're just not going to fill it with Andrew Wiggins or Andre Iguodala.
This is getting weirder and weirder.
You're not going to fill it with just an Andrew Iguodala. You need someone who's going to take the ball and put it right in the hole.
There we go.
And right that's on. What Kevin Durant was. He was a hooper's hooper, and they built that team around it. Now, I will say after KD left, they started reshaping the team to more fit Steph, which is where they're getting to now. But when KD went down, I think everyone kind of knew, ooh, it's going to be a tall uphill battle.
It's Kawhi's time, baby. So let's jump into speaking of, you know, finals and championships. Let's talk about this in-season tournament. How excited are you to watch the NBA in-season tournament in November and December?
Bam.
Hey, yo, can we talk about that for a second? Because that man is embarrassing himself. So for those of you on the audio adventure,
D filling holes with black men. Sound like Adam 22. So we're going to take a pause from our regularly scheduled topic, which is the NBA in season to discuss Adam 22. Listen, so for those who may not know, Adam 22 is a media personality. His wife is what we like to call a mattress actress. She is a porn star. And recently, she did a scene with Big Jason from Blacked. I'm very familiar with his work.
Hey, yo. Hey, where Cameron and they say, yo.
It sounded. I didn't realize how wild that comment left my mouth. Pause.
You a big fan of Big Jason?
Listen.
Hey, yo.
So what I was trying to say is I've been on Blacked quite a bit, and I've seen Jason in his work. And if you know anything about Blacked, Oh my. So when I saw my man Jason in the background with Adam's wife, I said, oh my. Oh my. Let's just say that Adam's wife, who was a mattress actress, filmed a scene with Jason, who she'd been wanting to work with for a while. Red flag number one. Adam, trying to be a supportive man, agrees to it. Red flag number two. Afterwards, after this scene has been shot, Adam and his wife did a podcast, and his wife said that it took a few days for them to, it took a few days for her to have sex with Adam again because her little thing was very, very sore for about 4 days.
Yep.
My brother. Is, let me tell you something. Would you rather your wife be acting like that at the Usher concert or be in the black scene?
Definitely Usher. Here's the thing though, right? And I'm not trying to defend Adam 22 because he being a little,
there's nothing wrong with being a cuck. I want to start by saying that there's nothing wrong with okay, being a cuck. I'm not one, nothing, and I'd never be one.
I am. It's not my cup of tea. But
for all if freaky ass dudes out there that like to watch a woman get plowed, shout out to you. Shout out to you. There's nothing wrong with it. I'm here for
damn,
it.
Damn, nigga. If you date a porn star, mattress actress, like that's part of the deal, right? She is going to be sleeping with other men on camera.
It's a strong word. That's how she is going to get demolished by other men.
She is going to have intercourse with other people multiple on camera. Sometimes that's the case. Sometimes it's not. And that's in that. Oh, Jesus.
Kyle.
Yo, this joint falling off the rails.
For the audio adventure, Kyle said that this is not his cup of tea.
But, like, he is out here, like, cheerleading, like he's being a cuck, like he is like cheerleading this, and again, that might be his thing.
Listen, the more he cheers this on, the more I think he's very uncomfortable with this.
Yes, I think he is very uncomfortable, and this is the only way he thinks he can get through it. Had he just shut his mouth, this would have been a thing. This would have been over with a week ago. He keeps posting about it, and I think Bam is on to something. Once we figured out that No Jumper was ran by a fake Adam Levine, the street started talking.
I just think that Adam 22 is taking a page out of the Kevin Hart book by trying to have people laugh at his pain. And I'm here to say, Adam, this is not funny. I've seen Jason's work in multiple scenes. Yeah.
We get it. You like Jason's work.
Not like that, but some of the Johns he'd be taking down, I would also. I would. I feel him on that. So I can only imagine when I'm watching a little Riley. I saw Jason take on Riley Reed.
No.
I saw Jason take on Riley Reed. And he took that one. Tore that thing out of the frame. And I was like, whoa. So I can only imagine when he was doing the old Lena. Listen.
Oh, God.
Listen, I'm not here to kink shame, but I'm here to say don't be mad at other people for kink shaming.
You know what we're going to do? This is just as organic as it gets. We're going to have a separate show. Maybe it'll be on Wednesdays or Thursdays where you just break down porn scenes.
Listen.
Start an OnlyFans. Like, you break it down porn like film.
I will say this, and then we can get to the in-season tournament. Okay. I've always wondered how they manage to do gangbangs and everyone's just upright and tight.
Here we go.
Like, all y'all is just still on 10 throughout this whole thing? It's 45 minutes in and you still on 10? Yeah, you got, there's six other dudes in the room and y'all taking down this in-season tournament, man. The NBA announced an in-season tournament during the regular season. All 30 teams broken out into three groups of five, like a group stage World Cup, right? And each group, you play everyone in your group one time. And then I think, what is it, eight teams that come out and that make it to the knockout round?
Yep.
And then from there, I think this is what I think they do this in Vegas in the
Vegas,
the knockout round. The eight teams go to Vegas, play for a chance to win $500,000 a piece plus the newfound NBA in-season cup trophy. Danny, let me ask you something. First off, what do you think about the group that the Mavericks are in? And what are your thoughts on the overall in-season tournament and how the NBA is trying to really entice teams to really play competitive basketball earlier in the season? Because really, it's all about those games from like November to December when these games are being held that they are seeing real lack of effort, people not really trying, teams not really taking it seriously. So what do you think about this in-season tournament?
First of all, Kyle is wilding in the chat.
Kyle is getting his shit off in here.
First, you asked about the Mavericks group. So the Mavericks group is Denver, Clippers, the Pelicans, and the Rockets. The Rockets and the Pelicans are in the Mavericks' division. Okay, whatever. For me, the in-season, what's the point? What does winning this cup mean outside of winning some extra money? And with that being said, I think the in-season tournament, as it progresses, I think we're going to see the younger teams care, like Houston this year, right? All those young boys, they're probably on their first contract. They're really not making a lot of money. They have the legs for it. They're probably going to take the tournament a little bit more seriously compared to like the Lakers. Like what does LeBron get from winning this cup, right? Because here's the thing. If you win the in-season tournament and then lose in the first round of the playoffs, don't make the playoffs, lose in the play-in, like if you don't make a deep run, oh, these jokes are going to be aimed right at you. Oh, we getting these. Yeah, like you're going to be the paper champions. Like it. Like, so what are we talking about in regards to like what's the point?
Like, so to answer your question, I think this is a bigger issue. So I think before there was a lot of load management going on in November and December and parts of January with teams who know they're probably going to make the playoffs once they have all their pieces. But I think the issue the NBA was running into is that, even though, yes, a team like the Clippers, for example, you know more than likely once they get all their pieces together, as long as they keep winning games, they're going to make the playoffs and have a chance to make a deep run. But that basketball between November, December, and January, we got to find ways to make that competitive because teams have to sell tickets. League has to make money. And if the fans can tell you guys are purposely taking off these games in November, December, and January, what incentivizes them to even come to these games when you're not seeing real effort? There's a chance you might even see the real superstars. We have a business to run. They're looking at it and they're saying, during November and December, not only is the NFL kicking our ass just on a regular viewership standpoint, but there are a lot of people there are a lot of people out here who don't tune into the NBA until after the All-Star game because that's when they know players take the season seriously. That's what the NBA has to counteract because this is a business. They got to be in the business of making money. Yes, they're in the business of playing basketball and trying to get teams to win championships, but they need asses in seats to generate revenue to be able to compete with the NFL during those crossover months. You already got the NFL on your heels and trying to take away some of your Christmas equity. You got to get that back. And the only way you get that back is by making these games more competitive. The only way you make games more competitive, you got to incentivize players to play. What better way to incentivize players to play? $500,000. I don't care if you're LeBron. I don't care if you're AD. Somebody says, you got an extra $500,000. Listen, for someone like for someone like a James Harden, that $500,000 can go to one of your sugar babies. Maybe for someone like LeBron, that $500,000 could go towards your I Promise school. Maybe for a team like Houston, if you win it, everyone's going to pocket that $500,000.
Yeah.
But we got to make these games more competitive. And I think that's the really big thing here that a lot of people don't like. This is what I don't get. All you people out here on social media who be yapping about how the NBA is not really competitive until XYZ, you should be the first ones championing this shit because now we're going to get actual meaningful games that actually matter now. That actually matter.
You think that's the case, though?
Yes. Listen, $500,000, I don't care if you're the first or the 15th man on that roster. $500,000? You want that $500,000.
is that half a mil worth the extra game, right? Because the two champ, whoever goes to the championship, it's 82 game season, but if you make it to the championship round, it's going to be 83 games for you.
And if you make the play in, that's 83 games too.
Yeah, but that's for a chance to go to playoffs and, you know, play for a championship.
Yeah, but listen, you're a basketball player, dog. They're offering you free money to play basketball. All you gotta do is play basketball. Like, I personally am looking at this like, yo, turn this the fuck up. I really like this. The more I think about it, the more I really like this. Let's get some more competitive basketball. But to me, what my problem is you sucker-ass suckers out here. I'm not talking to you.
Oh, wow. Two suckers. Not talking to you. Okay. I've been called worse.
You suck-ass suckers out here who spend your time on Twitter with your fucking Twitter fingers during the regular season. You're talking about, oh, man, the regular season doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Wait till we get to the playoffs. And then your team goes out there and shits the bed in five games in the first round. And you're talking about, well, we didn't have the chemistry during the regular season. Make up your fucking mind. Whoa. Do you want impactful regular season games where teams build chemistry, or do you want your team to be like the Clippers every year where they just pissing shit down their leg for every month up until fucking February and then decided to, yo, you can't have your cake and eat it too. You either don't want shit to be competitive until it's time to be competitive, or you want the season to be competitive all the time. The NBA is looking at the NFL and saying every regular season, every week in the NFL is impactful, meaningful games. Yes, I know they have less games, so every game is more impactful, but they make it that way. We're not shortening 82 games, so let's find a way to make the 82 games that we have more meaningful. I look at that and say, if you're a fan of the NBA basketball, how could you not be a fan of this? It's new energy. It's a new take on it. You're going to get more meaningful games. And that tells me that the Christmas games may even be more competitive now, because teams are going to be in, like, if you win, if you even make, if you, I feel like if you make the knockout round, you're going to feel good, because it's just going to be a new experience. And you might build some new chemistry. I feel like if you make the championship game of the in-season tournament, you're going to feel good about yourself, whether you win or lose, because you're building new chemistry in games that matter and more real pressurized reps. And that's what a lot of these players need, especially these younger players. You need real pressurized reps. If you're a team like the fucking Houston Rockets, there's a good chance you're not sniffing any type of playoffs outside of this in-season tournament. So if that's the closest you're going to get to feeling pressurized reps where it's a one-game season, that's what you need.
Yeah, I'm saying, like, for younger teams, it might be great, right? This is something that they do. Like, what's the benefit of LeBron winning the in-season tournament? Like, what is LeBron's
Jordan motivation? Never did it.
That's not going to hold for that.
Jordan never did it. Like,
can I push back on one thing you said? And I hear this a lot. When people say you can't have your cake and eat it too, why else would I want a piece of cake?
Well, you can't. Just can't have your cake and eat it too. I don't have an answer.
That doesn't make sense though. If I want a piece of cake, I want a piece of cake because I want to eat it.
Okay.
I don't want a piece of cake to stare at it.
You're cool with the Mavericks doing that bullshit they did at the end of the season last year, at the beginning of the season. You're okay with being a fan of a franchise moving that way instead of going out there and playing competitive basketball for 82 games.
Looking at the roster as it is today compared to what it was at the end of the season. Yep.
Come on, man. Y'all bugging. Yeah.
Yep.
What do we do?
So,
yeah. So speaking, Kevin, every day that I talk to, I'm not talking to you. Every day when I hear NBA fans talk about the NBA, it brings me back to one of Kevin Durant's best tweets. NBA fans love everything about the NBA except basketball.
I love basketball.
I'm just talking about in general.
Oh, like, yeah.
How can you say you love the NBA, but you don't get behind them trying to make their regular season more competitive? We all see the playoff intensity between February and April after that All-Star game.
Yep.
Right? So why can we not look at them trying to get that same intensity in games in November and December and January?
I appreciate it. I appreciate the effort. I'm just interested to see how older players or players that are real championship contenders treat this.
These are regular season games, so they're going to want to win regular season games. Another reason why they incentivize it. because you want to win regular season games, and this is that.
But I'm saying, like, if LeBron has, you know, a tweak in his ankle, is he going to say, no, put me on the floor tonight because this is an in-season tournament game? Or seems like, no, I don't care about that. Like,
I mean, yeah, but that's bringing up an extreme. Yes, if he's injured, yeah, you sit him for the game like he would.
I mean, I'm not talking about injured. I'm just saying, like, a little, you know, if it happened last season, he would sit. Would this incentivize him to play?
Yeah.
Right? Like Anthony Davis has a toe injury that he can play with, but it'd be better if he rested. Oh, but this is one of those in-season tournament games. Do we play him or not? Right? That's for me. That's where...
Now we're having a different discussion because now we're back to... Well, now we have to keep the player healthy. That's different. We got to keep the player
healthy. Well, I'm saying, like, there's a difference between being, like, hurt and injured, right? Like, there are times where you can play... You're just not at 100%. Now, sometimes during those November, December, January games, if that happens, they'll err on the side of caution and say, no, we're going to shut you down for tonight. Does this in-season tournament have the inverse effect? And they say, okay, yeah, your thumb, like, you know, your index finger on your shooting hand is a little sore, but this is an in-season tournament game. We need you to play.
No, I don't think they do that, but I do think if healthy and players are feeling good, they're going to.
Yeah, if they're healthy, yeah, they're going to play. That's
how I'm looking at it. I hear what you're saying. I think in that case, yes, you sit them because you got to look at it as another regular season game. But that's in the case of a player being injured. So now you have to do what's best for the player. But if they're healthy and they can play. Like,
okay.
Like, what are we? And if they're healthy and they can play, then this is just another regular season game that has just a little bit more implication on it.
Okay, so you answer the questions. Even if they're healthy enough to play, they need to play.
And I feel like a lot of hoopers feel that way. Yo, I feel like there's not many hoopers in the NBA who don't want to play every night if they can.
Yeah.
I see this in-season tournament being really good because if they're healthy, they're going to play. And if teams are healthy and playing, this gives them more incentive to make the games a little bit more, give them a little bit more juice. It's hard to get what I see the NBA is looking at. Yo, it's hard to get a team full of fifth, sixth, seven year vets to get excited about a game in mid-November when the playoffs are in April. This gives them something to look forward to. Like, okay. Gives them a little bit more competitive edge. I'm not talking to you when I say this. Why can't fans understand that there is a competitive edge that has to be maintained throughout these sports seasons that have long regular seasons like the NBA does? Same with baseball. Like, yo, it's hard to keep that competitive edge for 6-7 months.
But we both know that organizations act to power of who can play and who can't. All right, Kevin Durant will play every night if he could, but if the team physician is like, I think we should err on the side of caution, he's going to sit out.
Side of caution of what? Because Kevin Durant might be injured or might have something.
Yeah, like, my toe hurts. Well,
yes, but that's erring on the side of you have to take care of your athlete because you're looking at the long term. Kevin Durant has been waking, he's been waking up feeling good, feeling healthy, feeling ready to hoop. Like,
yeah, if they're healthy, they're going to play. For me, it's if we're at a spot where someone isn't 100%, they're 85%, usually they would sit out. The team would say, no, we're going to sit you out tonight. Yeah. Are they going to say, no, can you play because this is an in-season tournament game? Like, that's the gray area that I'm focused on.
Well, we'll see how they handle it. I really like this in-season tournament. I think each conference has one group that is going to be a dogfight. I think in the West, it's the group with the Lakers, the Suns, the Jazz, the Memphis Grizzlies, and I'm forgetting who else. And in the East, I think it's group B.
I just had it up too.
I forgot exactly who's in group B, but I think group B has whichever one has the Knicks and the Heat and maybe the Bucks in it. That'll be the one in the East. That's going to be the toughest group to come out of.
I'm intrigued. Again, I love this idea for people who are the like young teams. Like you said, this is a great opportunity because we know Houston is not out here contending for a championship, but this is a way for them to get those high pressure reps. So when they do contend, you're here.
And I would also say on the flip, this could be an opportunity. I would honestly not be surprised if a team who wins this tournament or the team that wins this tournament ends up going on a little bit of a run just off the chemistry they found in this tournament, by the way.
So
I don't think that's underrated.
Go ahead. I don't think that's underrated either. But speaking of young folks and rookies, Summer League is going on. We'll make this quick. Anything impressive? What are your thoughts on Wemby? Anyone outside of Wemby caught your eye?
Scoot Henderson, I understand why they took you, what they did, and why they told Damian Lillard to kick rocks.
Yes.
You are the one, and you are going to be the one, and I can see it. That kid is gifted. I'm excited to be not only living here in Portland to go see him play, but I'm excited for when the Blazers trade Dame, because those Portland tickets are going to sink, and I will be watching Scoot as much as I possibly can.
You should get season tickets.
No. They're not good enough for me to get season tickets. Plus,
I'm saying you get them while they're low, and then.
Nah, I would only get season. Truthfully, I'd only get season tickets to the Lakers. That's just my squad.
That's fair.
Now, I will say this: I didn't like how y'all was talking about Wemby after that first game. Like he just was the number one overall pick for no reason. Dude's he's going to be really good in the NBA. He's just got to find his way. I think for these European players coming to the NBA, they kind of see how easy the NBA is compared to Euro basketball. And that's why you see guys like Luka or Jokic get their game off the way that they do. Wouldn't surprise me if Wemby in like 2 years is like that.
I mean, Luka said it's easier to play here than it is in EuroLeague.
I think a lot of players say that.
For me, I'm going to go with Jabari Smith Jr. of the Rockets. He has been balling. I wouldn't be shocked they shut him down. He shut it down. Wemby has been in the States for a month, and he probably already wants to go back to France. Britney Spears, chill out.
They already shut him down.
Shut him down.
Speaking of which, I'm glad this is on our big deal or no deal. We might as well just handle this now.
Let's do it.
Do you think this Britney Spears Wemby little incident is a big deal or no deal?
It's no deal. It's turned into a big deal, but it's no deal. Here's the only thing about Britney. You are a superstar as well. You know good and damn well you don't run up on somebody with security to go touch them on the shoulder. And he didn't even slap you. You slapped yourself.
Yes. So I want to reemphasize, she slapped herself. You know what I came away from this situation saying? I see why they locked your crazy ass up. I see why they took your money away. Britney. Ever since they gave her shit back, I've just been saying, maybe they was right. Maybe. Look, sometimes the oppression be...
Don't say that.
Sometimes the oppression be understandable. Like, I understand why they just got to nip that in the bud, just kind of keep them under wraps. Because, yo, bitch might be crazy. She might be. Like, she might be crazy for real.
Like, the video, like, she is lit. And she doesn't even know who it is. She's like, I think he's famous. Like, dog, you don't roll up.
Let me tell you something. I understand why they did what they did when it came to Britney. And
yo, do you just want to stick with big deal or no deal? NCAA coaches are wild, and we know that.
Yeah, we might as well get that. Listen, before we get to big deal or no deal, this is what I'm gonna say about NCAA coaches. I laughed for at least 10 minutes when I saw the report that Bob Huggins never officially sent in that resignation letter.
Hilarious. Hilarious.
So that means what happened was he caught that DUI and he basically thought they was going to sweep that one under the rug, and they softly fired him and he never accepted the firing. And now he's letting them know, hey, yo, dog, I never resigned. I'm still the head basketball coach here. So either what we doing here?
What we doing here? Dog. It's the funniest story.
Death taxes and NCAA sports. Coaches being a little bit above the law.
I think we're both on the same page at Fitzgerald at Northwestern. Everything he deserved. I read that report and fam. the racism, the sexual abuse. Did you read the report on what was happening in Northwestern?
Okay, so you're already a better human than I am, because I had a whole different take on this. My take on this was, first off, the whistleblower, you a punk ass motherfucker.
Two,
I'm with the team. The team came out and said, yo, a lot of cap on this rap. A lot of cap on here.
That's what they're supposed to say.
Is it?
Listen, man.
Is it?
If any of that is true, if a hair of that is true.
We've seen teams that come out when shit like this happens and let it be known. Nah, that shit over there that they reported, that shit's true. Or if it was that bad, don't you think a lot of players would have stopped playing or just refused to play?
It doesn't work like that.
So if it's that bad, why does the team come out and say, yo, there's a lot of fucking cap on this rap? It ain't that bad.
See, that's the kind of thinking, like, oh, if he's abusive, why does she stay in that relationship? That's the same kind of thinking. Like, it's very easy to get caught. I've been in locker rooms where stupid shit has happened.
I have too.
I can believe it. Let me tell you something. Any man try to make me bear crawl naked is getting stabbed. Like, we're not stabbing is very personal. Like, you getting stabbed. Any dudes try to throw me in the locker and put their balls in my face, somebody getting stabbed. But when you are a freshman, it's very hard to do.
See, I got to do. Are we sure it was like a?
And there have been multiple.
What
players
if there was just a couple of
punk
ass
that
bitches
true.
That? Let me stop.
Still though. There have been multiple players that have corroborated that story. Did you read the piece?
No.
Because it's not just one player. Oh, see, read it. Like, they have corroborated this with multiple players on the team that, yes, these things.
So y'all believe the snitches is what I'm hearing.
Yes.
Well, I don't want to hear from the snitches unless it's gonna.
Oh, God.
Because if it, yo, don't see, if you
we're
in
not
if you,
heaven, we not seeing heaven.
Who, me?
We not seeing heaven.
I'm just saying, yo, like, listen, this is gonna sound bad, and they might kill me for this, but if it was that bad, don't wait until you ran off to try to come back and tell them the plug. Tell them the plug when you're going through it. Tell them the plug when you're going through it. Don't leave and tell them the plug.
Then you set yourself up for retaliation.
But if it was that bad, it shouldn't be no retaliation. People should have you back then. If it's that bad.
If you are a freshman,
we're not doing this no more.
You are 18 years old. You're in a locker room with 19, 20, 21, 22 year olds, and they're telling you this is how this locker room runs. Like, you are probably going to do this. Like, right, you have no power. You have no leverage. You want to be a part of the team. And you want to have a chance to play, and the coach is in on it. How am I supposed to play if the coach is in on this too? And I say something like, that's the kiss of death. I don't want to transfer because Northwestern is a great school. I might not go pro, but guess what? When I graduate with this degree from Northwestern, I'm probably going to get a good job.
Okay. In your example, if you're going through all that and that's your reason to stay, it's not that bad. It's not that bad, dog. It's not that bad. Suck it up.
I would. Oh, yeah. That's the wrong verb to use when a bunch of dudes are throwing their dicks in your face in a locker. Hey.
Fight. Like, I don't. What?
Here's the. Okay.
Well, this is a soft.
You were eight. Yeah. Like, you're 18 years old. You're in this locker
room.
But
I've seen how.
Five juniors and seniors run up on you and haze you and sexually assault you and do all that stuff they said in that article. You're going to swing on all of them. You're going to fight all of them.
Yes. Somebody going to understand that I'm not with this play. So if that means I get jumped, one of y'all motherfuckers is catching at least something from me, a hook or something.
And the coach is in on it too. And the coach says, well, guess what? You're not playing. And I'm kicking you off the team and revoking your scholarship.
Go somewhere else then. I don't know, man.
It's not that easy, man. It's not that. Because someone could call that coach and say, hey, why is Dean the transfer portal? What happened? You can drag your name through the mud.
Maybe.
You got a whole lot to lose.
Maybe. I just feel a way about certain type of snitches, and maybe this is personal because I wouldn't do no shit like this. I wouldn't do no shit like this to my program. If I was going through it that badly, I'm letting some shit be known. I ain't with that. If that
means- I mean, but who do you tell if the coach is in on it? If the coach is making, if you read it, you'd understand. If the coach is making the same hand gestures that the players are making to point out, yeah, that's the one you need to haze in the locker room, who am I going to talk to? Who do you take it to? Football coach is the most powerful person in any program. You know that.
What if the people that are being, what if the people that are being quote unquote hazed were some true bitches? Why don't we take that?
That doesn't give someone the right to put their balls in my face.
Yeah, I mean, if you was being a bitch and understand, let me stop. All right.
Yeah, we're gonna play Jesus. If this show was sponsored, the sponsorship would be gone. Yeah,
no, I ain't gonna hold you. I might not see heaven.
Yeah, it's all right.
And yes, yeah, Kyle, you are very right. My program did treat us well. Shout out to Virginia Tech,
OG. which is crazy because their mascot is a turkey. So the Kansas City super fan, my man who was out here robbing banks in the KC grill, in the KC outfit. We're not reading that. There's a big deal and no deal that he was arrested on Monday. Ignore everything Bam just said. We're not listening to that. Nope.
I find this to be a big deal. Look, my man was so hype off that Chiefs Super Bowl victory. He said, "Listen, it's up and it's stuck, and it's not just with the Chiefs, it's with everybody." Yo, did you read that one? My man was robbing a few banks across a few states, ended up in California, and that's where they got him. I was like, wait a minute, what type of Bonnie and Clyde ass shit do you got going on? So my thing is, did he dress up in that little Chiefs little dungaloo mascot and was robbing folks?
I hope so. I hope that's the part of the story that we haven't heard yet, because that would be hilarious.
Yo, I'm gonna say this: if you got robbed by a dude in a Chiefs mascot, I promise you, I'm not taking you seriously. You.
Listen. Was he armed? They be dressed anything if they got a gun. I'm listening.
Yo, if a dude come in there looking like a Chuck E. Cheese mascot with any type of gun, I'm laughing at you. Like, I'm laughing at you. I promise you.
Oh, God.
He probably, when I saw this story, I'm picturing the episode of SpongeBob when he tried to rob a bank with a sock over his head and didn't even know where to put the bag. Put the money in the bag! Sir, wrong window. Oh, sorry. Put the money in the bag! That's what he probably looked like doing this shit. And the fact that you got caught, you look like a damn doofy doing this. Listen.
Hey, if he got away with it, he'd be a genius.
He would have got away with it too if it wasn't for those meddling ass cameras.
So you and I have had this conversation on this show multiple times about back in the hype or potential versus high potential versus a proven commodity. Is it a big deal or no deal to consider? How do you say this man's name? Because I don't watch baseball.
Shohei Ohtani.
Shohei Ohtani, my apologies, is one of the greatest ever in baseball.
People aren't making enough of a deal about this. This guy is good. No, this guy is great. He is a great pitcher and he is a great hitter historically at both. It's hard in modern baseball to be really, really great at both. Listen, I know he plays for the Angels, and the Angels are a joke of a franchise, but he chose to go to the Angels. He wants to be in the Angels. Yeah. He chose to go to the Angels. He wants to stay with the Angels because clearly, similarly like a Kawhi with the Clippers, they give him control and they've given him power. He's a great pitcher. He's a great hitter. He's a great player. This guy, when it's time for his bag, Danny, your eyes are going to widen whenever they pay this man, your eyes are going to widen at that number. A lot of people say Babe Ruth, he's Babe Ruth-esque. Babe Ruth ain't got nothing on my man. Not a nothing.
I don't watch baseball, but I've heard of this person. I've heard of his greatness, and that's cool because they still lose, so I really don't care.
So that's the thing. A lot of people say that it's hard to take him that serious because he's that good, but the Angels are bad.
Same with Mike Trout, right? Like Mike Trout, one of the best baseball players on earth, Wouldn't it look like if he walked in a grocery store tomorrow?
Because the Angels, they haven't prioritized winning. But what it is, what it is. It is what it is.
We have some folks in the chat. Do you know these people?
So Nietzsche says, no basketball people in one stream. What a deal. Lukaku8167 said, yo, Kai Sanat gave you a shout out. No, he didn't. Nietzsche said,
yo.
Okay. Anyway, Danny, before I let you get on this ISO in the WNBA, let's talk about WWE, Money in the Bank from a few weeks
ago. Let's do. Yep.
So that pay-per-view was amazing. Straight up amazing. Started with, I want to highlight the Bloodline Civil War. First time in almost, what, 3.5 years? 2.5 years?
Three and a half years. It's like since the pandemic
Since the pandemic started, this is the first time that Roman Reigns has been pinned. Pinned by Jey Uso. What are your thoughts currently?
Perfect storytelling. Like, whenever I think this story has reached the end, or man, what are they gonna do? Like Triple H said, I got another one for you. We're gonna make this even better. Like last week, the tribal court and Roman's like, I'm the tribal chief. Who the hell calling court on me? Dog.
Listen.
Bars.
I know we've been saying, yo, this Bloodline storyline is insane. Don't know where they're going to go. I am just amazed. And I just want to shout out to this entire family that is Roman, Jimmy, Jay, and Soho for the incredible storytelling in which they have told this angle. I think what we are witnessing in the Bloodline is how you keep something that has been long-standing, relevant, and refreshing. I'm amazed at how many different ways this storyline can go. This can be the complete dismemberment of the Bloodline. This could revamp the Bloodline, because I'm looking at if we look at the whole landscape of the WWE, Sammy and KO really haven't done much with the tag team championships since they've won it, which lets me believe that SummerSlam, not only is Roman going to win, but this is going to be a coming together. Like, the Bloodline might come back together. And it wouldn't surprise me if by Survivor Series, Jay and Jimmy are champions again. And it wouldn't surprise me if at Survivor Series, even if they decided to break up the Bloodline and split it in two between Soho and Roman and Jimmy and Jay, wouldn't surprise me if at Survivor Series, it's a tag team match for the Undisputed Tag Team Championships. Like, there's so many ways this storyline can go. So I just continue to be impressed with their storytelling matched with their in-ring ability. Also, I want to say Seth Rollins and this angle he's taken against the Judgment Day, I love it.
Hilarious.
I'm still kind of getting used to this World Heavyweight Championship and Raw having their champion that's not Roman Reigns. It's a little weird, but I like Seth as champion. And I'm going to say this. I'm curious on what they're really trying to do with Cody Rhodes.
Yeah, this finished the story stuff. Like, he has to be Brock at SummerSlam. Like, he has to be Brock Lesnar.
But not only that, it's like, with the finish the story, I don't...
The story is him beating Roman. That's how you finish the story.
That's what I'm thinking. I don't think this is Roman versus Cody where he's finishing the story. I think this is Cody versus Seth Rollins. That's where I think.
I could get down.
I don't think anyone takes the belt from Roman Reigns anytime soon. And I think that is why they introduced this World Heavyweight Championship, because I think they know Roman is the biggest draw in the sport. We're not taking the belt from him because none of y'all can carry his belt.
Nope.
But Seth's belt is a step down, and we can interchange that one to build that belt up and give it that prestige that it needs. My personal
opinion. I enjoy it. Seth is great. He's a great champion. I'm glad he has a belt.
And shout out to the women's division. The women's division has been very impressive. Very, very impressive.
I can't wait till Roman beats up Rikishi, because that's next. Like, Rikishi is going to have to come and like, hey guys, we're a family. We need to stick together. And Roman's going to be like, yeah, you right, Rikishi. And he's going to beat Rikishi ass. And it's going to be great.
But Rikishi old, man.
That's the point.
They're going to give Rikishi.
He is the elder.
They're going to give Rikishi a match at where versus Roman?
It's not going to be a match. It's going to be a Friday night SmackDown. Rikishi's going to come. He's going to try to, you know, hey guys, we're a family. We're better together. And Roman's going to be like, yeah, you right, and go shake his hand, and he going to punch the shit out Rikishi. And then he going to spear that man.
But you think this is before or after Rikishi does the dance?
Oh, this is going to be before. Like, Rikishi's going to come down, he's going to dance, he's going to do the whole song and dance. And then it'll be great.
We'll see. We'll see. My brother, talk to me about the current landscape of the WNBA.
Yeah, so the WNBA All-Star Game is Saturday night, 8:30. It is in Vegas. It is Asia Wilson versus Breonna Stewart. The draft was this past Saturday. Quick note, Elena Deladon from the Mystics hurt her ankle 2 nights ago. She has been ruled out. Ryan Howard has taken her spot on Team Wilson, which is a big pickup because Ryan Howard has been on a tear. She's out of her little offensive funk. She is absolutely balling. I think Team Wilson is going to beat Team Stewart, especially now that they have Ryan Howard. That team is just the All-Star Game. It is a guard game. So whoever usually has the best guards win. Asia has. She just picked all her teammates and a few of her South Carolina friends. Any gambling degenerates right now? All-Star MVP. If Breonna Stewart's team wins, it'll probably be because of Drew Lloyd, because she's just an absolute torch. But it's probably going to be Chelsea Gray. She's going to have the ball in her hand the most outside of Plum. And Plum won it last year. She's not going this year. Chelsea Gray is going to be All-Star MVP, which just kind of goes wrong with Chelsea Gray's story the past year. Last thing, this isn't All-Star related, but Sabrina Ionescu got the cover of NBA 2K. And it has caused quite the uproar, and rightfully so, because she does not deserve it.
Why?
Dog, Sabrina is not the player that the media makes her out to be. She is good, but she not that nice. She not that nice.
I think it's politics. Now, I'm not going to say anything about Sabrina, because that's Nike family, so respect.
There is another Nike athlete.
I know, Asia Wilson.
And is Jewel Lloyd a Nike athlete, or is she Puma? Drew Lloyd, if you want to do the Kobe connection, it should have been Drew Lloyd and not Sabrina.
But Sabrina went to Kobe school, though. She was a...
So did Jewel. Jewel is a Kobe protege, too. Mm-hmm. She's the gold Mamba. She wears 24. She grew up in L.A. Like, it should have been Jewel.
Am I saying you're wrong? I'm just throwing some argumentative points.
Here's the thing about Sabrina. Sabrina's been in the league for 4 years. One All-Star appearance, one second-team All-WNBA selection. She did not win Rookie of the Year. She was number one overall pick. She did not win Rookie of the Year. She did not even make All-WNBA rookie. Aaliyah Boston has been in the league 4 months. She's going to win Rookie of the Year. She has an All-Star selection. She's flirting with an All-WNBA selection. So in 4 months, Aaliyah Boston leads the league in field goal percentage. I know Sabrina leads the league in three-point field goal percentage. But in 4 months, Aaliyah Boston's resume is more impressive than Sabrina's resume over the course of 4 years.
So Kyle beat me to this. He literally beat me to this. But my brother, Peyton Hillis was on a Madden cover. We can't.
But here's it. Sabrina got it because of her connection to Kobe. And if you want to go the Kobe route, Joy Lloyd was the way to go.
But
that's all I'm saying.
Who's the bigger draw, box office name and draw? It would have to be Sabrina. And I think that's where they lean to. Listen, man, 2K don't care about deserving. They care about selling copies of video games.
And then on a deeper level, in a league that is majority black, Candace Parker is the only black WNBA player to grace the cover of 2K in the 3 years that they've given a WNBA cover. But that is a discussion for another day.
Well, it's early. It's early. Let's give it some time.
I mean, the biggest star, they keep playing in Asia's face, and it's very annoying. Also, Nike, give Asia a signature sneaker. Sabrina got one.
You're right.
And hers are kind of fire. Granted, it's the Kobe silhouette. Yo, give Asia a sneaker. What are we talking about? What are we talking about?
Maybe.
Stop playing in Asia's face.
Listen.
Talk to me about UFC 290.
Oh, man. UFC 290. Hell of a card. Hell of a card. There was actually like three or four like really quick first round knockouts. I think anytime you have multiple first round knockouts, you're going to have a pretty good card. I think the big thing coming out of this one is Izzy Adesanya. Mm-hmm. He entered the ring after I forgot what championship it was. But basically, the person who had won their fight, who should be the next contender to Izzy's belt, basically got in there. And they was kind of going back and forth. And there was this clip that circulated afterwards, because during this time, the guy who's a white presenting guy, he's African, and Izzy is also African, but he's clearly, can tell he's African. Mm-hmm. Izzy was calling him his N-word.
Oh, I saw that. Times.
So afterwards, Dana White was asked about if there are any racial amplifications, like if he thinks there are based on this matchup. And Dana White, I'm telling you, I've watched this clip multiple times. I've laughed every single time. Dana White looked at this guy and was like, who gives a shit? And I couldn't stop laughing because, like, duh, yeah, who cares? Dana White was like, this is the fight business, man. Like, then he was like, he's black. He can say whatever he wants. And I said, Dana knows. Dana, listen. The more I hear Dana White talk, the more I realize he is about that bottom line, that cash
money. Yes, he is.
I'm with it. Commissioners, and I don't realize why enough fans don't realize this. Commissioners across any sports league is all about that money. So if the money ain't coming in, if they ain't where the money resides, they are trying to grow the game and make money. And if you're not talking about one of the two,
we ain't got nothing to talk about.
We ain't got nothing to talk about. Yo, you could tell my man who asked the question about racial implications was like a little tight, that was his response. He was basically like, who gives a shit? And he was like, okay.
Yeah, I saw that clip. Yeah, it's funny. So,
go ahead.
I know you can talk about F1. I watched the last 12 laps the other day. I get it.
What'd you get?
I get it. Like, I don't get why people watch racing. It's like, it's just cars going around in a circle. But I watched the last 12 laps of the Grand Prix in the British Grand Prix last week. And I was like, oh, okay.
So had you watched the whole thing, you would have really, because really the first lap is the one you want to watch, because that's a lot of things happen. But those first probably like 10 laps was big. Let me tell you why. Going into the weekend, obviously we knew Red Bull, as you can see. That's a rocket ship they have. They have a fucking rocket ship. But at the beginning, throughout free practice and qualifying, McLaren had brought some new upgrades to the race, and they had incredible race pace just compared to like a week ago when their race pace was half as what, like it was bad. Like they were in the back. They bring some upgrades to the British Grand Prix last week, and now they are pushing for top of the grid. In fact, Lando Norris started off the first couple laps in the lead. Like, he was leading the Grand Prix for a good amount. And then Max Verstappen was like, nah, bro, go ahead. Get on.
Yeah, because McLaren polled. I think the announcer, like, they polled for the first time since
in a while.
Yeah, for years. In a while.
And shout out to Lewis Hamilton, because that was a hell of a race he ran to end up at third. Luckily, got lucky with the safety car during it, but listen, Red Bull is they're pretty much a lock to win the constructors. I think Max is a lock to win the driver's championship.
Won five in a row.
Yeah, no, he's, bro, they have a rocket. That's why every time you hear me come up here, I'm like, yo, Red Bull, they get like, bro, this, they got a rocket.
Red Bull, who I know Red Bull is a sponsor. What kind of car is it? Is it a Mercedes? Is it a Ferrari?
No, they have they're powered by Honda.
Wow.
Yeah, they're powered by Honda. Really, they've just developed a really, really good car these last couple of years. And it's just, especially with some of the newer rules and regulations that they introduced to Formula One these last couple of years to help keep it a little bit competitive. Because before last year, Mercedes had won like 8 in a row. You can't have that. There's no parity. You know, and the same guy had won the driver's championship like 6, 7, 8 times. Now, granted, he is the greatest of all time in Lewis Hamilton, but you got to get more parity. And now you see these teams really fighting for second, third, and fourth. And these teams that are in second, third, or fourth, they're pushing the team that's up in first. So hopefully both Mercedes and McLaren continue to build and they give Red Bull a run for their money. I think Aston Martin's starting to fall off. Also, it was announced today that the one of the drivers for the sister team of Red Bull, actually, AlphaTauri, their rookie driver, Nyck de Vries, he basically got the boot. He got the boot after 8, 9, 10 races this year. He got the boot because he just wasn't performing enough, and they've already brought in the reserve driver from Red Bull to fill that seat.
Oof.
Formula One is a ruthless sport. Like,
sounds
you don't
spicy.
You don't get a long leash pause. Like, if you fucking up, they're gonna yank you out of there. You get a chance, watch Drive to Survive. I think you would like it. It's a sports reality documentary series. Gets you kind of, takes you behind the scenes of Red Bull. I mean, not Red Bull. It takes you behind the scenes of Formula One. You get like a real sense of like some of the pressure in this sport, how big this sport really is on an international level. We in America are really just getting hip. In Europe, it's like, it's huge. That's why they're on their European circuit right now. They have so many European races. Obviously, it's huge in like Saudi Arabia. And it's a rich people's sport. So you can imagine the countries that host it. Yeah. They're richer sports. I mean, richer countries. So I'm excited.
It's fun stuff. Next week we start our 8-week breakdown of each NFL division. We do it yearly. Looking forward to that. D, do you have anything for the people before we call it an evening?
Man. Listen, here's one thing I have. So last week it was random, but all of my redraft leagues kind of started getting in back into the swing of it, right? A lot of, you know, me being a commissioner of a redraft league, my other commissioners of other leagues that I'm in, they all started kind of getting back into it. So I had a question. If we're all kind of drafting around the same time, last week of August, first week of September, right before that September 7th kickoff in Kansas City, when do you think is the right time to start doing your mock drafts for redraft leagues? Should I start now?
Right now. I've started right now. I'm coming prepared. I'm trying.
I rejoined my man's 12-team league. I got angry and quit a few years ago. This time I joined it. I joined it again. I told him I'm not leaving because he's in my league. And I was like, all right, it's only fair that I'm in your league as well. So he, for some reason, wanted his league to be a 12-team league. I rejoined it. I got episode 12. I mean, not episode 12. I got pick 12.
As you should.
And then in another league, it's a redraft league. It was the league that I won last year, so I'm the champ. I've been talking my shit, and your boy, it's a keeper league. My two keepers, I can tell you right now, Patrick Mahomes and CeeDee Lamb, and I'm picking fourth overall.
Ooh.
So I'm actually praying that the dude who has Travis Kelce drops him, because I think he'll fall to four, and I'm definitely taking him if he does.
Oh, really? You wouldn't take Saquon or McCaffrey if they were there?
Well, because I think I can find some decent running backs, but it's Travis Kelce, Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, I need that stack.
Yeah, need that
stack. I'm coming for our redraft league. I was close last year until Jalen got
hurt. I'm glad you said it. I'm winning our redraft league this year, and I promise you, when I win this league, y'all are going to be up. I know that everyone in the league doesn't want me to win because I'm the commissioner, and I'm here to say that I'm going to win the league because I'm the commissioner. No, I'm not cheating. No, nothing. I'm just going to beat everybody. And once I win the chips in this redraft league that we're in, Danny, now I can officially say that. Then I would be able to officially say that I'm the greatest manager in this league's history. Only manager that's made the playoffs every year. I just haven't been able to make it to a championship game. It's okay.
Well, I can.
I keep losing the second round every single year of this league. It stops.
Well, I can say that I am the greatest manager in our dynasty league because I'm the only one who's ever won it. And I'm going to win again this year.
What? And in our dynasty league. Listen. I'm a little nervous. Before we get out of here, what are your thoughts about my Romeo Dubs trade? I really like that trade, and I'm really happy I got a Green Bay Packers pass catcher. Finally, young pass catcher. Bam didn't want to take my deal for Christian Watson. So shout out to Rojo for taking my deal for Romeo Dubs. And I think he kind of slept on that pick because I think Romeo Dubs is going to be a really good wide receiver. We have no true number one in Green Bay, so I think this could be a really big opportunity for Romeo Dubs.
I'm a little annoyed because I've been trying to do business with Rojo for a season and some change, and he refuses to do business with me. It's very annoying. Mm-hmm. Very annoying.
And I'm going to let – listen, in our Dynasty League, I have finally decided, and I told you this, I'm never trading another first-round pick again unless it's for, like, an A1 player.
Yeah.
But that second-round pick, I'm starting to realize that second-round pick, I'm quick to trade that one away.
That's your
I'd
journey.
Rather take another third than keep the second if it means getting a player I really want. Nice. And I think I'm going to start doing deals like that. Like, I'm going to start telling people, yo, how many second or third round – I mean, unless it's, like, a clear number one, a first-round pick type of guy. But I think – my trading style from here on forward when it comes to draft picks may be offering as many second and third round picks as I can, keeping my first round picks and just continuing to try to build through the draft that way. I'd rather be able to pick early, pick guys I want in the first round and kind of figure out depth from there than not have a first round pick like I did like this year and have to pick in the second and third round because I don't think I'm getting that same value. Now, granted, I think I still got some really good guys in our Dynasty League draft, but I don't know, man. Just my thoughts. But shout out to Rojo. I'm really happy that we could make a trade. Sad to see Samaje Perine had to go. I thought he was going to be a big player on my team, but Romeo does it better.
There you go.
So, Danny, let the people know where to find us.
You can find me on the Bird app at DannyOcean41. That's a follow us Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, Speak On It, _ pod. We're everywhere, baby.
And not only that, we may make a Threads account, but no guarantees.
Dog, I'm enjoying Threads. It's okay.
I enjoy Threads. I think it's funny. And Elon, that's what your ass get because that 600 tweet limit pissed off millions of people around.
Yes, it did. And Twitter is not a good experience anymore. There's a lot of bots. Like there are a lot of bots who started following me. And yeah, it's a lot of ads. Like, it's just not a good experience anymore.
It's not. Can you believe that all it took was my man saying, yo, I got this cloud bill back from Google. We gonna tighten this ship up. And everyone was like, oh, there's a limit to tweets? Time out, big dog. This is where we draw. That's literally where they drew the fucking line.
Yep, like, that was it.
Drew the fucking line. They said, excuse me? No.
We are out of here.
So... Shout out to Meta. I'm curious to see. Listen, a lot of people are saying, is Threads going to take over Twitter? No.
No.
That's not their key. All they have to do is make a dent in the marketplace to be successful.
And they did. And it is.
And they did. Listen, man, make sure you guys follow me at Los Demix. That's LOSDEEMIX. I want to let everyone know. I know I've been talking about this DJing thing and how I want to. I've been thinking about live streaming on Twitch, me learning how to DJ. I want to let everyone know I have DJ equipment. I have been practicing. I got to figure out a setup to where like I can have cameras that kind of show my hands as I kind of try to practice. But the return is coming and I can't wait. I've been practicing a lot actually since I got it a couple weeks ago. And I think I'm getting better. I think maybe one of these days I might start us off with a little mix. But we also post these videos on YouTube, and I don't want to demonetize them. So
we'll figure something out.
And my Sparks are 7-12. We're on a 5-game losing streak.
Dog, the Sparks are in hell, man. They can't get healthy. Everyone's hurt. Legit, everyone is hurt.
Sounds like the Lakers.
must be
something about living in LA. You must be getting.
Must be crypto.
And AD, I don't know who you beefing with, but keep working on that hook, my boy. I see you. Listen, I got a song to get us out of here too.
I've been listening to this
Lucky album. I don't know if you know who Lucky is.
I do not.
You started the show talking about Teddy Pendergrass, so yeah, I know you don't know who he is. But Lucky released this album last week. It's called Sex, Money, Drugs, and one of the songs on here is called 2021 Vibes.
Okay. Brother,
he's got some vibes on here. You hear this?
Shout out to everyone that came through. Appreciate you.
You could have been anywhere in the world, people, but you was here with us. Much love and thank you. And make sure you speak on it. And remember, don't tell her what to wear, because she won't be there when you get back.
Hello. We out.